The Attractive Young Rabbi by Barry Grossman, with Tracy Ann Oberman as Rabbi Sue Jacobs and David De Keyser as Rabbi Abraham Fine.
And that reminds me of the story of the Jewish man who... No, I think I told that one last week.
Abraham!
Sure.
There was a phone call from Mel.
Sure.
His own wife he can't speak to. 47 years of marriage, and that's where it gets you. Shh. 47 years.
Zeddy, my dear, I'm trying to do my sermon.
For a sermon, I have to shh. No one listens to the sermon. It's just a chance for the old men to go out and relieve themselves.
It is not.
Your whole sermon is performed to the background of flushing cisterns.
Well, is it my fault the walls are thin?
Thin? I think Hoffman the butcher sliced those walls on his pressed beef slicer.
Okay, so some of the old men go out. Our services are very long.
And the young men just talk business during the sermon.
Now, one thing I will not stand for is men talking business during my sermon. During prayers, that's when men should talk business.
Okay, so they don't talk. A cat doesn't talk when you're lecturing it. It doesn't mean it's listening to you.
Sadie, there are two reasons why you should not argue with me. Number one, I am your husband. And number two, I am your rabbi.
Abraham, there are two reasons why I will always argue with you. Number one, I am your wife. And number two, I'm right. And number three, you know I'm right.
I thought you said two.
Don't argue with me.
You know, 7 years I studied to become a rabbi. I've studied logic, I've studied rhetoric, but none of it has ever helped me get the better of you in an argument. Rabbi Fine. Oh, hello, Melvin. Some news, eh? Well, let's have it. Well, if I don't like it, I don't like it, Melvin, but what is it? Yes, Melvin, I'm ready. Now, tell. What? Here, in Hillfield? There isn't the need for another... It's what? I don't believe it. They'll never get it off the ground. I know the people here, Melvin. They're my congregation, and they'll come to my synagogue. Look, find out everything you can about it, and let me know. Okay, bye. It'll never happen. It mustn't. We must make sure it never happens.
What on earth is it?
Melvin's heard there's going to be a reform synagogue. Here. Reform.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear? It's more than oh, dear. With their shorter services, prayers in English, wives sitting with husbands, blasphemy.
Mind you, some of those reform places get good attendances. They attract the younger people.
Yes, I know. That's what makes it all the worse. They turn people away from the real religion. On Yom Kippur, they fast till 12 o'clock. What's the point of a fast if you stop when you get a bit hungry?
Yes, but most of those people wouldn't come to us if the reform didn't exist. They just wouldn't go at all.
We don't know that.
Of course we do. How many do we get on the Sabbath? 20 or 30 men and hardly any women.
Well, something's going to have to be done. This I will fight to my dying breath. They will build a reform synagogue in Hillfield over my dead body.
Hillfield Reform Synagogue. Well, this must be the place. Excuse me. Can you direct me to whoever's in charge?
Sorry, mate. Foreman's not here at the moment.
Any idea of the rabbis here?
Wouldn't know, mate. Sorry.
Oh.
Hello, Melvin.
Oh. Brian, getting your hands dirty, eh?
Oh, even committee chairmen have to muck in sometimes. We'll be doing the reform anyway. Oh, this is Sue Jacobs.
Hi.
Oh, hello.
So, come round to check on the opposition, eh?
Oh, call it neighbourly interest.
You have to agree. It's very impressive.
That's, bit modern, maybe, but it's not bad.
Oh, we're pretty happy with it. And we're on budget.
You appointed a rabbi yet?
Oh, yes, good one.
What does he think of it?
She likes it.
She?
Hello, remember me?
Oh, you were the... Oh!
Melvin, meet Rabbi Jacobs.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't expect a rabbi to be so young.
Well, rabbis are getting younger every day, aren't they?
Yeah, right.
You know Melvin's my counterpart, chairman of the committee at the Orthodox.
Chairman of the council.
Well, I'm sorry I can't offer all you chairmen any chairs, but as you can see, we're still finishing off.
Yeah, that's all right. So how are things going?
Oh, great. We'll be open for business in a couple of weeks.
And you think a reformed congregation can be successful here?
Oh, I'm sure it can. How many do you get to a Saturday morning service, Mr. Livingston?
50, 60?
More like 30 on a good day.
Well, there you are.
How many people do you think you'll get?
Well, we have 148 seats. If we can get Mum, Dad and the two kids along, that could be 37 families.
Of course, we're expecting a dip in seat occupancy rate after the initial interest dies down, but our forecast is to stabilise at around 75%.
Ryan's have to let his business brain run away with him.
I've said it before, Sue, a synagogue is a business. We have to cover our costs. The Lord will not provide.
He's right.
Well, we're planning plenty of communal activities to get people interested. We're taking the kids to the Bubblegum.
The Bubblegum?
You know, the children's theatre. It's got a great write-up in Time Out.
Oh, right.
And then there's the singles group. I'll be taking a personal interest in that one. I'm sure there's some nice hunky men round here for an attractive young rabbi.
Oh, you're not...
No, I'm not.
And we're starting a bridge circle. I'm hoping to persuade Sue to partner me.
And I'm hoping to persuade Brian to get his wife to partner him.
Yes.
Wife not so hot at the bridge table, eh? I know the feeling.
Let's just say the contract hasn't been two hearts for a while.
Right then. Well, if you'll excuse us, we've got a lot to be getting on with.
Oh, right you are, Rabbi Jacobs.
Sue, please.
I'm Sue.
I'm sure we'll be seeing a lot of each other in the future. Oh, send my regards to Rabbi Fine. I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's looking forward to meeting you. I can see the two of you are going to get on famously.
Sadie! Door! Oh, how am I meant to get on with my sermon when I'm up and down and up? All right, I'm coming. Oh. Melvin, come in.
Oh, thanks, Rabbi. I phoned a couple of times this morning.
Well, we were out. Sadie wanted to go to the Promised Land.
Oh, you booked up for Israel?
No, Brent Cross. It's one of the few things we still do as a couple. She shops, I drop. Yeah, come into the study.
Oh, thank you. I told you before, you should get an answering machine, Rabbi.
Trouble with them is you only get 2 minutes to say you're not in. What can you say in 2 minutes?
Other people manage, Rabbi.
Anyway, never mind that. What's going on down at that place?
Well, you're not going to like it, Rabbi. They're expecting over 100 people there for a Saturday service.
100? That's what we get for Yom Kippur.
Beg your pardon, Rabbi. 82 last Yom Kippur.
Is that so?
Though it was a Wednesday. It's difficult for the men to take a day off on a Wednesday, and it was raining.
Oh, well, of course, that would explain it. How could we expect people to attend the synagogue on the holiest day of the year when it's a Wednesday and it's raining?
Well, religious observance is like the clothing business. It's not what it was.
So, what else did you find out?
They're planning a lot of communal activities, outings for the children, a bridge group.
Do we have anyone with the energy to start all these things? Who's doing it for them?
The rabbi is, Rabbi.
Oh.
And Brian Franks.
Has he gone over to them?
He's chairman of the council, or committee as he calls it.
But you don't attract people to the synagogue with bridge. People have to be attracted by the beauty of the liturgy, the power of the prayers, the eloquence of my sermons.
Oh, yes. We could try something, How about an open evening?
Well, it might help. We could have, we could have a choir of children singing some Hebrew songs.
I'm not sure we can muster a choir. Perhaps a quartet, if Jason Finkelstein's voice hasn't broken yet.
Yes, and maybe a quiz about Israel.
A quiz about Israel?
Melvin, we could call it Quizrael.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, I take it you'll want me to say a few words.
Rabbi, forgive me, but we're in the video age. Fast forward, remote control.
Well, I'm past my preach-by date, is that what you're saying? Anyway, you haven't told me what the new rabbi's like at this reform place. Young man, I suppose.
Young, yes.
And what do you make of him?
Well, when you say him...
The new rabbi.
Yeah, it's just that the new rabbi's not so much a him as a her.
A woman rabbi? Here?
She's young, single, attractive, and if she can fight off her own chairman, she wants to find herself a hunky man.
Melvin, I've tried to keep up with changes in the world. I take showers instead of baths, as if we don't have to stand enough in the synagogue. I use an underarm deodorant, though I only do one armpit a day because of global warming. But there are some things I just do not want to hear, and foremost among them is that a rabbi in Hillfield wants to find herself a hunky man.
Denim she was wearing. Denims.
A woman rabbi! They'll be telling us there are female eunuchs next.
The denims. And the worst of it was she probably paid high street prices. I could have got her something just as good wholesale.
Now, Mrs. Fine, anything else? I've got some nice fresh pickled herring in, the one the rabbi likes.
No thanks, Michael. With his sour temper, I think he's turning into a pickled herring.
Right, well, that's $6.75, please. Morning, be with you in a moment.
That's all right.
25 there, thanks, Mrs. Fine.
Thanks.
My regards to the rabbi.
Oh, Mrs. Fine?
Yes?
Rabbi Fine's wife.
I hope so, or we've been living in sin for 47 years.
I'm Sue Jacobs, the new reform rabbi.
Oh, hello. We've been hearing all about you. How are things going?
Great. We'll be open for business in a couple of weeks.
For business, eh?
Well, we'll be open.
Well, I wish you all the best.
Thanks. But you being Rabbi Fine's wife, I thought you'd be a bit, you know...
Unwelcoming. Look, dear, between you and me, Abraham needs a bit of opposition. He's complacent. If you make him buck up his ideas, so much the better.
Well, I'm glad you see it that way.
I do. Look, why don't we go to Millie's for a cup of coffee?
Well, I'd love to.
Come on, then.
Oh, Mrs. Fine, you're taking my customers away. You want me to go bankrupt?
You'll be all right, Michael, at the prices you charge.
I knew this would happen if I came here. Do you know how many calories there are in a slice of apple strudel?
It's good for you. You know the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Admittedly, it doesn't mention anything about piling whipped cream on top of it.
Mm.
So, how are you settling in?
Fine, thanks. I've got a nice little flat round behind Tesco's. Handy for shopping.
Oh, I don't like it in there. Too big.
I know what you mean, but it's the modern way, Mrs. Fine.
Please, Sadie.
Sadie. Everything's changing. Shopping and synagogue.
Of course. Without change, the Jews would still be slaves in Egypt. You know, when Moses said he was leading them out, there were probably some of them that said... But we've always been slaves. It's traditional. Slavery was good enough for my father and it's good enough for me.
Mind you, they'd have probably spit into Orthodox slaves and Reform slaves.
Ah, the Reform would only slave till 12 o'clock. So, what makes a girl like you become a rabbi?
Well, I was always interested in management and quite interested in Judaism, so it seemed a sort of fast track to the top.
And were your parents pleased?
No, I think they were a bit disappointed, to be honest. They wanted me to go into something more traditional, PR or media.
Ah, those hard-to-please Jewish mothers, eh?
When I went to America to do my rabbinical studies, she told her friends I was backpacking around the pop festivals. She was convinced I'd only gone to find myself a bloke.
Well, nice girl like you.
I wasn't that interested. It was my first time away from home. I wanted to be independent.
All the same, Rabbi Fine would be the first to tell you a supportive spouse is a great help to a rabbi. At least he'd better if he knows what's good for him.
Oh, actually, I mustn't stay too long. I want to get to Tesco's before lunch. Have you tried their kosher lasagna?
I like to cook my own things. You don't cook?
Well, you know, trying to get a synagogue started. Busy, busy, busy. I'm afraid I'm a bit addicted to you-know-who's frozen dinners. Oh, don't tell Michael.
It's no wonder there's not a pick on you. You're going to have to come round to us one night for my special chicken soup and canela.
Thanks. But is the master of the house ready for that?
She's just invited you.
Oh, God, I really must dash. It's been lovely to talk to you. Bye.
Bye-bye, dear. I wonder if Abraham would eat kosher lasagna.
Oh, Brian, come in.
Morning, Melvin.
Morning.
I was just passing. Busy?
Who's busy these days?
Oh, you're looking prosperous on it.
I get by.
So, who does your accounts?
Jack Silverman.
Oh, you want me to give you a quote?
I'm happy with Silverman. He's a very long-established firm.
I'm a very long-established firm.
He knows the ins and outs of the clothing business.
I know the ins and outs of the clothing business.
And he's my brother-in-law.
Ah.
Sit down.
So, I see you and Rabbi Fine are holding an open evening.
Oh, yes. We're counting on it being a big success.
And what gave you the idea?
Oh, we just thought we'd give it a try.
Nothing to do with us having an open evening on the same night.
Oh, are you?
Yes, we are, as you very well know. So, what have you got planned for it?
A few surprises.
Like what?
If I told you, there wouldn't be surprises.
Oh, don't worry, we're not going to copy you. Our plans are all made.
Well, you reform people should remember you don't have a monopoly on new ideas.
Oh, Rabbi Fine wouldn't know a new idea if it marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times blowing a trumpet.
Okay, he's a traditionalist. Doesn't mean to say he's always wrong. And anyway, why should he deny what he believes?
Yeah, but some of us don't want to live in the past. It's gone.
So what would you do, yeah? You'd demolish our historical old buildings? You'd get rid of our beautiful old prayers?
It's called progress.
Progress, shmogress.
Reform is the way things are going. Our membership nationally is up 14.8% in the last 10 years.
Statistics.
Yours is down 16.3%. It's overwhelmingly the choice of younger people, like myself.
Oh.
I have seen the future, Melvin, and it works.
Not on the Sabbath, I hope.
Oh, very funny, but if we leave it to the Orthodox, in 50 years' time, there might not be a Sabbath.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
I'm telling you, it's adapt or die. Look at our Rabbi Jacobs. Isn't she wonderful? The future of the religion lies with people like her.
Rabbi Fine's a good man.
A good man, yes, a scholar, but has he ever used a computer? Even a rabbi can surf the internet.
Yeah, to be honest, I can't even persuade him to get an answering machine.
Melvin, we've come from the ghetto to the global village in 2 generations. Come with us, or you'll be locked outside the walls forever.
I'll take my chances.
Well, that's my view. Think about it.
Okay.
Bye, Melvin.
Bye. Rabbi Fine, you need to start surfing the internet. He's less likely to go surfing off the Malibu beach.
Rabbi Jacobs.
Oh.
I'm Ruth Fisher from the Jewish Chronicle. We had an appointment for 10.
Oh, hi. Yeah, call me Sue. Come on, we'll go into my office.
Thanks.
Have a seat. Coffee?
Please.
Won't be a minute.
So, tell me about your new synagogue.
Filter or cappuccino?
Filter, thanks.
Be right with you.
Fine. Is it Sue or Susan?
Just Sue, no E. Now, where do you want to start?
Wherever you like.
Right. Right, we're going to offer an entirely novel way of incorporating synagogue attendance into the modern lifestyle.
Interesting.
Coffee will just be a few minutes.
Oh, fine.
People around here work hard and they play hard. We need to give them a reason to say, no, I won't go and play squash at the David Lloyd Centre. I'll go to the synagogue.
And how are you going to do that?
Well, to start with, we believe prayer shouldn't be a prayer book-driven thing. If a passage isn't relevant to you, we'll leave it out.
Well, doesn't that make services a bit chaotic? Everyone will be at different bits at different times.
Well, that happens in a traditional service anyway. Those who can read Hebrew fluently or just know the prayers race ahead, and the rest keep up as best they can. We're giving that the official seal of approval. Ah, Brian, come in. This is Ruth Fisher from the JC.
Hi.
Hello. Sue's just been telling me about your new type of service.
Oh, yes, and of course we'll be taking advantage of the IT revolution. We've got some of the most up-to-date technology of any synagogue in the country.
Oh, such as?
Services on video, CD-ROM, and of course our website, www.pulpit.co.uk.
You'll be able to download pictures of the synagogue, call up fact sheets, even browse through my sermon.
When I came in the synagogue just now, I noticed some glass-fronted compartments around the upper tier.
Ah, yes.
Our executive boxes for families or groups who prefer to pray in privacy. Each box will be equipped with a TV screen to follow the service.
Or programme.
Or programme, as we prefer to call it. And executive members
members will be able to order coffee and croissants to enjoy during the programme.
Talking of which, our coffee should be ready by now.
Wow, this will certainly all take a bit of getting used to.
We like to call it Judaism for the new millennium.
Oh, I'll quote that.
Oh, right. We're hoping to get a good crowd to our opening evening. And we have a talk from a very special guest star.
Oh?
It's called Sin City Synagogue, Sex and the Modern Jew. And it's given by Maureen Joseph.
Maureen Joseph?
The very same.
Wow, that's a real coup.
What's that?
Maureen Joseph doing your opening night.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's an old friend of mine. Oh, we'll put an old friend of my mother's. Now, coffee.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm sure I can give this a very positive write-up in the Chronicle.
Great.
Now, when was Sex and the Modern Jew exactly?
Oh, yes, make sure you put it in the article.
Oh, never mind that. I'm making sure I put it in my diary.
Thank you, children. Thank you for that wonderful selection of our favourite Jewish songs. And now, before we announce the Quizrail winners with that wonderful prize of an extra large strudel, specially baked by Mrs. Fine, I have managed to persuade Rabbi Fine to say a few words.
Maureen, this is brilliant.
Fantastic. How many members have you signed?
129. That's £20,640.
Oh, there's a real accountant talking.
I always say accountancy makes the world go round, Maureen. You entertain people, Sue attends to their spiritual needs, and I
go through the invoices and fill out the tax returns, yes. Look, Maureen, if you're ready, I think we should go into your talk now.
Ready when you are, Rabbi DeMille.
Right. Well, let's get on the platform, and I'll introduce you.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you about the Jew who was prevailed upon to do a parachute jump for charity. Well, with great trepidation, he screwed up his courage and jumped from the plane. He pulled his ripcord. Nothing. He pulled his emergency ripcord. Nothing. He plummeted down, gathering speed, when he was surprised to see another man passing him on the way up. "Do you know anything about parachutes?" he shouts to the man on the way past. "No," comes back the answer. "Do you know anything about gas cookers?"
There are all sorts of places to meet people now that weren't around when I was young. Younger. Art galleries are the new nightclubs. Meet a man by the manis. Find a gal at the Chagall. And museums. The British Museum Department of Antiquities has been renamed the Grabber Granny Room. Then there's singles night at supermarkets. Excuse me, could you direct me to the small talk? Oh, yes. It's straight down aisle 3, past the nervous eye contact. And if you get to first night snogging, you've gone too far.
That story teaches us a very important lesson. There's always someone worse off than yourself. This man might be about to die, but at least he's dying a noble death, doing a charitable act. The other man is dying a foolish death, the death of a schlemiel blown up by a gas cooker. My friends, Hillfield Synagogue is facing a very grave crisis at this particular moment of time.
I don't think these people are ever going to go home.
And wasn't Maureen wonderful?
He was brilliant. Certainly gave me a few ideas they didn't teach us at rabbinical college.
Well, if you fancy a bit of practice trying them out.
Brian, isn't that your wife over there by the big concrete pillar?
Which one's which? Anyway, you've done a marvellous job.
I couldn't have done it without the team, Brian. Oh, yeah, thank you. Good night.
But what's a team without a captain?
Well, this captain's going to pop into the ladies and redo her makeup and then say goodnight to a few more of our punters, the latter of which you should also be doing.
Okay.
Oh, bye. Really glad you could come. Thanks. Bye.
Abraham.
Yes.
Still with Jah.
Yeah, I'm trying to do my sermon.
No change, then.
No, Sadie, no change. That's the whole point of the Jewish religion. It doesn't change. It's not British Leyland, a new model every year.
You say that, but...
Yeah, I know the reform. Sadie, we have survived. Everyone from the Hittites, the Philistines, to the Nazis and the Arabs will survive the reform.
But who is we, Abraham? The reformer Jews, they are we.
Are they? Watching the service on a TV screen like the news? Bong, we thank thee, O Lord, for our new computer. Bong, we thank thee for our female so-called rabbi, with a skirt halfway up to a tuchus, I'm told.
Actually, she's very nice.
Sex and the modern Jew with Maureen...
Joseph.
Is that we, Sadie? Is that Jews? I'm 73 years old. I've lived my life according to the only code I know. How can I change?
You are through to Rabbi and Mrs. Fine's residence. We are not able to come to the phone at the moment. Please leave your name, number, and any message after the tone, and we will call you back.
That was part one of The Attractive Young Rabbi by Barry Grossman, with Tracy Ann Oberman as Rabbi Sue Jacobs, David De Keyser as Rabbi Abraham Fine, and Doreen Mantle as Sadie Fine. Henry Goodman was Melvin, and Jonathan Kidd, Brian. Sarah Rice played Ruth and Maureen Joseph. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme music was written by Max Harris, and the programme produced by John Fawcett Wilson.